Mr. Leisure, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I love the clip that you guys played because the first question about the show was by Adam Hogue, who I like a lot, but it's like jumping up in the air in basketball without a plan. You pick up your dribble and it's like, oh no, what do I do? If he didn't watch the show, I don't know what to ask you.
I do like that you asked, did you learn anything by not watching it? That was pretty good. That's some quality stuff. So
are you still mad at me that I didn't watch it?
I'm a little surprised that you didn't watch it. I'm not mad at you, but I do think that it would lend some context to what you were watching every day up there at Halas Hall. So let me ask you, what are you seeing every day up at Halas Hall since this thing has started?
I am seeing a continuation of Ben Johnson's insistence on precision and not letting things slide. And I don't know what that's going to turn into wins and losses wise. I don't know how ready Caleb Williams or the Bears offense is going to be week one. But I can tell you right now, I know we are not going to be hearing in September the things we heard last year in September of, hey, they're letting a lot of things go in practice. You know, the older players think like they should really probably stay on top of us a little bit. You're not going to hear any of that. There's no way. And a big part of it is, again, this benefit of having a fresh set of eyes on your team where Ben Johnson has no allegiance to hardly anybody on that roster. There is hardly anyone on that roster that he brought in. It's maybe a dozen guys or something like that between rookies, like the top rookies and the free agents, things like that. There's no obstacle to him, you know, pulling Caleb Williams and the first team offense off the field or pulling any starter off the field for that matter.
Yeah, it's cleaner, isn't it, in that way? It's ideally, anyway.
It's objective.
Yeah, it's objective. That's a better word for it. Ideally, that's the way you're judging Braxton Jones and Ozzie Tripillo and Kieran Magaji. Ideally, it's the way you're judging Cole Kmet and Colston Loveland. I was struck by Kmet saying, oh, yes, this is a competition. It's not just that they're going to be on the field together. It's good for veterans to feel that sense of competition, isn't it? It's football.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the way that they were going hasn't worked, so lighting a fire under some people is a good idea. Now, it's a lot different. The two examples that you brought up are interesting, where you have a veteran fighting off a rookie for playing time. I think in Braxton Jones' situation, his experience doesn't really help him that much. It was interesting when Ben Johnson was asked about it the other day, and his answer was kind of to the effect of, yeah, theoretically, that would give him a head start. It wasn't just, oh, yeah, this guy's miles ahead of the other ones coming in. In Cole Kmet's case, no matter how much Ben Johnson loves Colston Loveland, Cole Kmet's experience does play a big factor in who's going to be more involved at tight end, because that is such a difficult position for a rookie to learn.
Over on the defensive side, I'd love to know what you see when you watch a Dennis Allen run a practice, because we've learned more about him, but what's it like to see how he does things?
I think it's similar to Ben Johnson in the sense that the intensity and the accountability is so much higher than what the Bears have been used to. Matt Eberflus came in talking a lot about that. We've seen it so clearly in the offseason practices and now in the first 2 days of training camp. What will be more interesting with Dennis Allen for me will be, as a strategist and as a manager of people, he's got to solve some problems that are still there. He's got to solve some problems that Matt Eberflus couldn't. Tyreek Stevenson is one of the first ones that comes to mind. Dennis Allen has to solve the equation of getting the most out of Tyreek Stevenson in a way that Matt Eberflus couldn't. And up front, defensive line, there's been some resources put into that, but there's still question marks. I mean, if you go across their starting defensive line, Montez Sweat's coming off a down year. Javon Dexter still has something to show you. Grady Jarrett, I don't know. I don't know if anyone can know for sure what he still has. And Dayo Odengbo is a guy that they paid based totally on projection, not on
production,
what he's proven so far. So you still have all these questions in your pass rush, just more money sunk into it.
I wonder, who the pass rushers from the back seven are going to be and how that's going to impact usage by Dennis Allen, because that's his gig, right? Jason is like, you know, Dio is not going to be a traditional D-end rushing the passer every time. He might stay at home while, you know, two or three dudes, you know, dart towards the quarterback. I wonder who those people are going to end up being.
It could be a bunch of different guys. I mean, that's not something that we've seen so far.
Right.
But I mean, if you look at who, you don't have to come in if you're the new coach. Even as bad as things have been going for the Bears, Speaks, you don't have to come in and tear up everything. Some things actually did work. And if he's looking for what you're bringing up as far as who are my guys in the second and third level that can be great pass rushers, Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker are both really good at it. You already have that on tape. You already know they can do that.
To go back to the Tyrique Stevenson stuff and Jalen Johnson being injured, I don't even know if they would feel comfortable answering this question, but do you then take Tyrique Stevenson while Jalen Johnson is out and say, guess what? If this were a game, you would be our number one corner. Do you treat him as if he's the number one corner while Jalen is out because you might have to have him as your number one corner at some point?
At some point, and maybe in the long run, yeah. I mean, I think that is a very valid thing to bring up when it comes to Tyrique Stevenson. And, you know, part of your evaluation on whether you want to pay him when his contract comes up is this guy, does he have that potential? Does this guy have star cornerback potential, or is he, you know, just a solid guy that you can find another one of in the second round of the next draft or the draft after that? So, yeah, I think there'd be a lot of value in that. You could, you know, when they get into the season, they have Kyler Gordon available too to play inside or outside, but he has been so good for such a long time now in the nickel position out of the slot that I wouldn't want to move him at all from there. I'd want to develop some other options that you could use, like Tyrique Stevenson is your number one, and, you know, maybe Terrell Smith or somebody else as an obvious number two if Jalen Johnson was going to miss time. But Jalen Johnson, by the way, not expected to miss time at this point. We're just talking hypotheticals.
Yeah, hypotheticals.
Yeah, Lawrence is concerned, but that's kind of his thing.
It's my bit.
Yeah, you know, he likes, he lives in the concern. He's the mayor of Worrytown. I am not renting any property there.
I keep getting reelected, though.
Yeah.
And for good reason.
By all the worriers?
Yes.
Yeah, because you're good at worrying.
This is our king.
It doesn't mean that your worrying is valid. You're impressive at worrying.
I feel like my worrying last year was validated in a way that you can't believe.
Well,
that's when people started moving in. They were like, this mayor knows what's up.
Real life anxiety is where your brain is just constantly scanning for the next problem.
Oh, dude.
Even if there isn't good reason to be doing that. Is that your Bears brain, Lawrence?
Yes.
Just constantly scanning for the next Bears problem no matter what?
Yeah, so let me get to it. How worried are you about Luther Burden?
Very. Now I'm buying a house in Worrytown. Is that what it's called?
You guys.
Is that what you called it? Spins?
Just rent together. Just live together. It's easier.
I got a room for Jason.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I am very concerned about that because that's a really high draft pick. That's 39th overall. There's a lot riding on that. And I think he comes in a little on the underdeveloped side to begin with. And now he's going to try to learn a complicated offense. They're all complicated at the NFL level, but this one in particular, I think, is complicated, and it's all about precision. And they've got veteran guys that they can trust to do that right now, probably. And you always hear about things like this where it's like Velus Jones misses the first 2 weeks of his training camp, his rookie year, because of a hamstring, and they just bring it up forever. It's always brought up, Velus a couple of years ago missed the first 2 weeks, and it hasn't ever really, you really do fall behind, maybe not so much literally, although that is a concern, but you fall behind in the eyes of the coaching staff, because as much as they talk about patience, they are wanting to move on just like everyone else is and settle into who are the key guys. Now, he is a high draft pick by the incoming coach. So Luther Burden is going to get his chances. But this does seem significant. If he misses the first week plus of training camp, it's not going to be easy to just walk in and claim a role. You've seen this before with guys like, you've seen the opposite of this. You saw where Darnell Mooney years back came in and was good to go on top of things right away, outperforming Anthony Miller, who had been there for a few years at that point. And he sold him. He sold the coaching staff on himself, you know, early on between offseason practices and the first couple of weeks of training camp.
Jason Leisure with us from the Sun-Times. Would you rather have a Ben schematic vision question or a Caleb Williams demeanor question? You pick.
Caleb Williams demeanor question.
There, to me, there were significantly fewer uhs and ums and pauses from Caleb. He seemed a lot quicker to a thought and sharing a thought the other day in response to your guys' questions. Did you notice that? And what does it mean if you did notice that?
Yeah, I noticed it. I think partly what it was he came right in from the practice field. They were doing something on the practice field before he came in, and he kind of bounded in, drenched in sweat. I think his heart rate was still racing pretty high, but I think the guy is just excited about the possibilities here. And you have to remember his background when you look at this challenge that Ben Johnson brings, coming in and knocking down some of what was taught to him his first year, not treating Caleb Williams like Caleb Williams is in charge of everything and he's the boss, and boy, we better keep our 22-year-old boss happy. I think that Caleb Williams' history as an athlete going back to age 10 tells you that he's a guy who really is driven and really wants the right information and doesn't necessarily need everybody to placate him and placate his ego. And, you know, that's good because he doesn't have so much to have an ego about right now after a tough rookie year. There was a lot of good in that rookie year, but he's not Superman now in the NFL the way he was his last 2 years of college or the way some of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL are. So he's in a position where he needs to listen. He needs to be taught some things. And the enthusiasm that you see speaks to his eagerness to get that information. As difficult as it might be, I think he craves it.
Yeah, I'm reminded of when the quarterback coach he was working with, Will Hewlett, said, Caleb Williams craves structure. Because that's way back when. All right, as a bonus, you get the Ben schematic question, too.
Oh, good.
How about him not deciding or knowing yet exactly what kind of run scheme they're going to run until he gets a chance to look at everybody in terms of what they're going to run the most of? What factors do you think are going to play into that for him, deciding what kind of run game they'll focus on?
Well, who's their most talented running back?
DeAndre Swift.
It's not even a question, right? He is their most talented individual playing that position.
Which makes me think that they're going to run wide zone more.
Well, but the question is, can he do what you need him to do? And if they need him to change, is he willing to change? And he sounds like someone that's very motivated to do that. He also kind of hints at some things that would be correct, that there were other factors outside his control that made it tough for him last year. If you look back to his last year in Philadelphia, that offensive line is a lot different than the one that he was running behind last year. Everything looks a lot better behind an offensive line like that. I think that Ben Johnson's got to see the real version of all three of these guys when they go to padded practices, which I assume will be Monday. And it's hard to tell how, for example, how serious DeAndre Swift is, how disciplined he is about following your directions and Eric Bieniemy's directions when it comes to running between the tackles until you actually put him in those live situations and see it.
So how are you feeling about these early practices?
Oh, they're the worst. I hate it so much. I'm up at like 5:30 every day. I would do so much better, Lauren. I'm not a morning person.
Poor you.
Yeah,
I'm just not. I would do so much better if these practices were at 10 p.m. That'd be fine with me.
So this happened in inside of Hallis Hall today with you talking about it.
Good morning. Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
How do we like the early morning start?
Love it.
Come on, man. Okay, all right. All right, just hop into it.
So
I love that you don't love it.
Jason was one of the grumblers there?
Well, no, he asked how we liked it, and then he made eye contact with me, and I just kind of glared back at him. I'm just non-functional in the morning.
Hey man, you're not that functional in the afternoon. Let's be honest.
That's harsh, but whatever I do it worse in the morning. I've spilled 2 days now, 2 practices. That's all we have now at this point. 2 training camp practices, and we got to be there at like 7:45 or 8 a.m. or something like that up in Lake Forest. And both days I have spilled something on my shirt and ruined it before I've gotten there.
Oh man.
Yesterday I was driving and dumped coffee down my shirt, a white t-shirt. And there was no excuse for that. I didn't hit a pothole. It was just simple, like, inability to use a cup properly. And then this morning, trying to get out the door for practice, I was putting sunscreen on my face, and big glob of it landed right on my shirt. I mean, it's not a good start for your guy.
See, I like it because it takes care of some traffic issues for you. Not for you, but I mean,
not for me coming from the West, but it's just the morning is not a good time for me, man. I don't even think right in the morning.
That's honest. And that's fair. I mean,
I've never had a job where I had to be there before 10:30 ever.
Yeah. And you get into sports journalism thinking that's safe.
For sure. Yeah,
like I used to cover the NBA, be up till, you know, you'd be writing till midnight, get back to the hotel at like 1 a.m. or something. I'm fine with that. I can do that part of the 24 hours.
I wonder how the players like it, you know, because I remember when I was doing a morning show, it was really nice to be done yes. for the day by like 10 o'clock. You're like, I can do whatever I want. Yes. It's an entire day that I can do stuff.
I like it. I'm looking
Aren't
forward.
You guys getting up at 3 for that?
For morning shows,
getting up ridiculous. If you have a morning show,
oh yeah, it's really bad on your body and takes years off your life.
Yeah, yes. I just saw Dustin Rhodes the other day, and I'm like, "Do you nap?" He still doesn't nap. He's not a napper, and so he gets a good solid 6 most nights and lives on that.
It's very important to stay true to your regimen because that clock can. For what we do, like missing stuff that's happening live, like the anxiety of that
but
is
I worry
problematic.
I worry about Dustin. You need more than 6.
Come on down to Worry Town. We got, you know, we'll take care yeah. of you for sure. Jason,
plenty of vacant lots, although they're going quick.
They are going quick.
I'm concerned about what's happening in those vacant lots.
Well, you should be. We're going to work on it.
You should be. I love that you're worried about it. You're going to fit right in, buddy.
It's part of my platform. Jason Leisure, thank you very much.
See you guys.